Renee, you learned a new song tonight. Oh, man. Exodus chapter 6 is where we are. Exodus 6. And we'll start in verse 1. We'll go through verse 3 and really pick up the thought in verse 3. The name Jehovah. Yep. Jehovah. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I'm the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, and Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." All right, I'm going to stop there and pray. And we're going to talk about that name Jehovah. It shows up a few times in the Bible. But really the thought that God's intention here is going to be further revelation. And in the way that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph knew God, they didn't know him in the way that he's going to be made known in these circumstances in Egypt. But let's pray, and we'll talk about how that relates to you and me, or can. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. I pray that you'd help us. Help us with these verses that we got in front of us. Help us understand them. And thank you for some good services this morning. Pray that you'd help the folks that are sick. Help them recover. And then for traveling tomorrow, Lord, that I'd give me safety traveling to Fort Worth and back home on Friday. And just all that situation with my family, that you'd give us wisdom and understanding on decisions and things like that. And I thank you for the answered prayer so far. Thank you for the direction so far and provisions you've made so far in all this. And I pray you'd help us this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tell you, we start and there are sirens every time. Every single time. Yeah, sounds like somebody after somebody. All right, Exodus chapter 6. So we've been going through Moses and his call to the ministry and his faithfulness, and then some of the excuses and then the equipping that the Lord gives him, and some interesting stuff in chapter 5. This chapter, the Lord is going to explain, really, at least in the first part, that his intention with Moses and with the children of Israel is to make himself known in a way that he has not been really ever known before. And that's going to be true. He will do that. And so, reading these first few verses, he mentions the name Jehovah, which is the first time this is mentioned in the Bible. It shows up a couple other times. Shows up in Psalm 83. Shows up in Isaiah 12. Shows up in Isaiah 26, where the Lord's name is Jehovah. And it has to do with him being the highest God of all gods and putting down his enemies, people that are against his work. And he's not a tyrant in that sense. He's a good God, and he puts down wickedness and rebellion and sin and things like that. And he's in opposition to his enemies, and obviously he is, but he's able to deal with his enemies in a way that man sometimes really can't deal with his enemies, but He's able to put down all his enemies. And so that's kind of the context in Psalm 83, in Isaiah 12, in Isaiah 26. These are all songs of praise to Jehovah, who is the judge. He's Israel's God, and those kinds of things. So that said, the first thing to notice here is what the Lord says to Moses, and it's kind of what we just went over. But he said, I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That's how they knew me. Knew me as God Almighty. The Almighty of all gods, the God of all gods, that's how they knew me. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known unto them. They didn't know personally, necessarily, who I was, and they didn't know me in a way that you're about to get to know me. So, number one, there's further revelation here that's intended. He intends to bring the nation, and really that's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to bring the entire nation of Israel and really much of the known world into an understanding of who he is in a way that the world hadn't known probably since the flood. I mean, there's just, and after that, there's only eight people left. But the world hasn't known him in this way really ever. And so the world's going to get a chance to know God, and particularly Israel's going to get a chance to know God in a way they haven't known him before. So there's further revelation intended. I hear this phrase sometimes kind of thrown around, and I understand the idea of it. You've heard the phrase, I'm sure. You've heard the phrase of progressive revelation, things like that. Okay, if you haven't, okay. But I've heard this phrase. But revelation is by nature progressive. It just builds on itself. It's revealed, something's revealed, something you didn't know before. And it's built on something you do know. And so that's what God's going to do. The nation of Israel has some relationship to God, being descendants of Jacob, but they don't know God in a way that they're about to get to know him. So number one, further revelations intended. Second thing is the people beforehand in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and anyone beforehand, even though they didn't know God in the way that God's going to reveal himself here, however they knew God, they were responsible for that level of understanding. So they're responsible for the revelation that they've been given about God. So the Jewish fathers, they had less revelation about God, but they had more faith than a lot of the Israelites here this time. So everyone's responsible for the revelation that God gives them, and that's the point. Some of these men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they're in Hebrews 11 and mentioned for faith. And while this generation of Israelites is going to be mentioned in Hebrews for their lack of it. It's just a crazy thing. But this generation is going to know more about God than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew about God. And so everybody's responsible for the revelation they're given. Now to the kind of the practical stuff on our side. The Lord gives seven ways that he's going to make himself known to the nation. And that's all laid out in these verses following. He says, here's how you're going to get to know me. You'll experience a strong, mighty redemption that man can't accomplish. So here's the sevenfold relationship with God that the nation of Israel is going to experience. Number one, he says, and it's in verse, let's see. Well, I'll read till we get to that point. He says, I have heard, verse 5, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Number one, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. That's the first thing you're going to know about me. I am capable of bringing you out from underneath these burdens. And as you remember, we talked about last week, when Moses goes to Pharaoh the first time, Pharaoh just sort of tightens the screws. And he's not interested. He doesn't care about God. Doesn't care about who Israel's God is. He doesn't care about Moses. To him, Moses is just a guy with a stick that's telling him to let people go. So Pharaoh just doesn't care about any of this stuff. He's just very typical of the world. He doesn't have any room for God in his life, and particularly the God of Israel, the Lord. And so he doesn't care what Moses says. And so when Moses says, "Let my people go," that's what God said to you. Pharaoh just says, "No, I'm not letting you go. Furthermore, since you seem to have all this time on your hands, I think you should be doing more. I think we need to increase the workload, because you seem to be thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about. You seem to be occupying your time with just nonsense, and so we need to increase the workload." And so that's Pharaoh's reaction. And God's reaction is, look, I am going to be known to you as the God that will remove the burden of these Egyptians. And yeah, these Egyptians are people, they're slaveholders. You know, contrary to what some think, slavery didn't start in America. These Egyptians are slaveholders. Hebrews are slaves to the Egyptians. And so the Lord says, number one, I'm going to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And you think about it, maybe you can put some spiritual context to it, or some spiritual application around all of this, that knowing the Lord personally and knowing the Lord in a way, maybe he's brought you out of some sin, some things that really kept you in bondage. And that's deliverance. That's what he does. He removes the oppressor and gives freedom to his people, which is another part of this. But he removes the oppressor. And so that's what he says to Israel. I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. But I'm not just going to bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will destroy the entire system of burdens. I will get rid of the entire... how does he say? He says it in verse 6. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. Meaning, I'm not just going to get you out for a period of time. I'm going to get you out from under their bondage, and I will destroy their whole system of slavery to you. And that's what he's going to effectively do that. So that's two things. There's a sevenfold relationship here. Number one, you're going to know me as the one who brought you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Number two, you're going to know me as the God that got rid of the Egyptian bondage completely. I just got rid of it. And that will happen in these plagues and the ultimate freeing of Israel from Egyptian slavery and all that stuff. So there's two. There's a sevenfold relationship here. Number three, he says in verse 6, I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. So that redemption is going to come in the form of really the not only the plagues, but at the end, the Red Sea. And then crossing the Red Sea, Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and God destroying the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, that is the redemption of Israel out of Egypt. They have been redeemed. They've been removed from not only Egypt's slavery, but the whole system of slavery there. And that whole system has collapsed, and they have been taken out of the country and redeemed from all of this. And then the Lord says, I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And so this is the way the nation's going to get to know their God. And personally, you could liken these things to sin in your life and the Lord delivering from sin, removing some of the things that cause sin, and even seeing some deliverance where just a powerful move of God where something that really had a hold on you is not even an issue anymore. That can happen, and that does happen for people. That's great when it does. So the Lord says, I'll redeem you with great power. Then he says, not only that, I will redeem you with stretched out arm, with great judgments. The fourth way you're going to get to know me, he says in verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people. So I'm going to gather you to myself, and I'm going to make this nation. Not only have I called to deliver in Moses, and I'll remove the bondage that you're under. I will remove the system of bondage. I will remove the nation that put you in bondage. And then I will redeem you out of that nation. I will move you into another land. And I am going to call you. I'm going to take care of you as my people. I'll take you as my people, meaning I will be the caretaker of you. I will take responsibility for you as my people. And he does. And he's going to. I will take you to me for a people. That's the fourth way of this relationship God's going to have with Israel here. Number 5, he says in verse 7, I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you, and I will be to you a God. So not just am I going to take responsibility for you, but I'm going to show you how I am your God. You're going to understand that I am God. And he's going to give them a law. He's going to give them statutes. He's going to give them ways to conduct their society and all of that. He says, I will be your God. That becomes the very first, really the first commandment. There'll be no other gods before you. I'm your God. So that's number 5. In this sevenfold relationship, you've got, I'm going to bring you out of the burdens of the Egyptians, number 1. I will get rid of their bondage, number 2. Number 3, I will redeem you with great power. Number 4, I will take you for my people. Number 5, I will be your God. That's number 5. And number 6, he says in verse 8, and I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So I'm going to give you the land that I promised your fathers. And so in redeeming you out of this other foreign country, I'm going to give you a land that will be your land. I'll bring you into this land that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you'll know me through that. So you're going to know me as the God that rescued you from the burdens of Egypt. You're going to know me as the God that got rid of your bondage. You're going to know me as the God that redeemed you with great power. You're going to know me as the God who took you for my people. You're going to know me as your God. I will be your God. And you're going to know me as the God who brought you into a land that I promised your fathers. And then number 7, he says, and I'm not just going to put you in the land and just set you there, but I'm going to give it to you for a heritage. So it will be passed on generation to generation. That's what he says at the end here. And I will give, in verse 8, at the end, I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So not only do I bring you to this land, but now I'm going to give you this land, and it will be in your family for generations to come. It'll be your heritage. And so these are 7 things, and I didn't really break them all up. You could break them up into these things and maybe make some personal application with all of them. But this is the big point in this chapter, that after all the dealing with Pharaoh, the dealing with Moses, the opposition, some of the excuses, some of the backlash with Moses and Moses going to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh kind of tightening the screws on Israel, and then the Israelites getting mad at Moses and all that kind of stuff. After all that, Exodus 6, the Lord says, all right, now just get ready. You're about to know me in a way that no one else has known me before. And here's 7 ways you're gonna get to know me. You're going to get to know me as a deliverer that delivers you from the Egyptians, from their bondage. You're going to get to know me as a redeemer, because I will redeem you out of Egypt. You're going to get to know me as your God. I'm going to take you as my people. I will be your husband. I will be your caretaker. I will be your overseer. I will be the one who takes responsibility for your nation. You're going to get to know me as your God. You're going to get to know me as the God of your fathers who promised land, and I'm going to be the one who takes you into this promised land, and I'm going to be the one who gives the land to you and your children and your children's children. And so in those seven things, this is a new way that, really new ways that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't know God this way, but God's going to reveal himself in this more intimate way with this nation than he's ever revealed himself with any nation. And so there's a good little outline of sevenfold relationship here. So that said, that's what we'll deal with in this lesson. The rest of this chapter I've got a few notes on, but we'll wait till next week. But anyhow, we'll stop it there. This is Jehovah. This is a more intimate knowledge of God and the way he's going to reveal himself to the nation going forward here. So there you go. Hope that's helpful. A little bit of history there, a little bit of a relationship with God and the nation of Israel and all that. So let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray it's been helpful. Lord, thank you for safety, traveling up and back. And I pray you give me more safety going up and back. And then for all the folks that are sick, pray that you'd help them, give them grace, heal up their bodies. And Lord, thank you so much for the light that you give us in your words and the help and this opportunity to get to know you in a way that, Lord, there's you're just a personal God. And thank you for revealing yourself and making yourself known to sinners like us. Lord, we need your help. We desperately need your help. I pray you continue to help us, continue to give us your wisdom, your discernment, your grace, your mercy. Again, thank you for each soul that's here this evening or this afternoon and for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.